All right, everybody, let's all stand. We're going to start our worship service here in just a moment. The first thing we want to do is we just want to open up this service in prayer. If you have a special need today, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? If there's anybody standing around you that has their hand up, would you be so kind to just walk over to them and pray with them for just a few moments? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you would touch the service, oh God, that you would have your way and bless, oh God, those who are in need of prayer today, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch their bodies, heal their bodies, Lord God. We also ask you those that are struggling with emotional and spiritual needs, oh God, that today they would receive an answer from you, God, from the Word, Lord Jesus, that would change their life, oh God, and move them in a better direction today. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, everybody who's going through the winter slumps or the depression of January, whatever those things, however we label it, God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that somehow today that you would put a new breath of life into their spirit, of God, that they would feel energized and empowered to serve you today. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We'd just like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church. We're just so happy you're here. If you did not see one of our ushers or greeters on your way in, I'm just asking you if you could step back to the kiosk at some point during the service or after and talk to an usher or greeter in the foyer. They have a small card and a gift for you there. And if you're visiting online, you can also fill out the connection card. It's now digital, either in the kiosk or you can do it at cgcmadison.org. Wrong website. bit.ly/connect to CGC. Okay, I think I got it all on there. Just a little switch up on our stuff. We used to have these green cards, and those are now going away. And so if you do bring a visitor with you, don't forget to bring them to the kiosk so they can get that done. Amen. We want to remind you some giving options today. We have four ways of giving. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person at the kiosk in the back. There's a small plexiglass box. You can drop your offering or check or money in there. Or you can give by mail if you want to send it to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or you can give on the mobile giving with the Church Center app. And if you need any help getting that app installed onto your phone, you can see Pastor Phil or any one of their pastoral staff, and they'll help you with that. Some announcements this week. There's a large project going on at our church, okay? All of the fabric on all of the pews is going to come off, and we're getting all new padding and fabric installed this week, all right? Woohoo! So there's a lot being shuffled around. We're also getting some new carpet in some of the offices over on the Kids Depot side. So you're going to see boxes and carts and things like that all over the place. So just be aware that's what's happening. We're under construction. But because of the construction, this Wednesday's service will still be at 7 p.m., but we'll be meeting over in the fellowship hall for service on Wednesday, okay? Because this sanctuary is going to be all tore up, and all the fabric and padding and all of those kind of things. All the cookies are going to come out of the cracks and all of those things. So. So next Saturday, I know we just had a ladies event, but this one's different. Next Saturday is Ladies Night Out, and this is where all the ladies of CGC are invited to a night out at the Pizza Ranch in Sun Prairie. And this is where this 2022 Secret Pals will be revealed. Awesome. So, and also the 2023 names will be drawn. You don't have to be involved to be a Secret Pal, be in the Secret Pal ministry, but we ask that you can come out and fellowship if you'd want. And it says see March for costs and more details, but I think that's Martha. See Martha for costs and more details. All right. So Martha, would you stand, just wave. All you ladies, go see her after the service. She's doing such an awesome job with the Secret Pals, and so we want to support her in every way we can. So this is midwinter camp season for us. There's three midwinter camps in the state of Wisconsin. But the one that we are asked to go to is in Parkway. And so that midwinter camp is going to be, theme is Greater Things. Anybody want greater things in their life in 2023? That's going to be January 26th and 27th. And so we're encouraging all of our saints to attend those services at Parkway Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. And so that's the 26th and 27th. Services are in the evening and on Friday morning also. Okay. And so at this time, we have a special announcement.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Praise God. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Peter Sandin. I'm the family pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I'm excited about 2023 with what God's wanting to do in my family, but I'm excited with what God wants to do in our church family this coming year. And so the family ministry is putting on something a little bit different this year. We haven't done this before, but we want to try something new. We have a vision that families are encouraged and empowered to be engaged, connected, and focused on Jesus. And so to do that, our goal would then be to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus. To equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus. You're sensing a pattern here, this life focused on Jesus. This happens a little bit less than we're willing to admit in our daily lives because of everything that goes on in our daily lives. And so we want to work this year to provide you resources, to provide examples and opportunities to do this, to have a life that is focused on Jesus. So let me ask you a question here. How many people here are mothers? You are so important, so awesome. How many people here are fathers? Good job, good job. How many people here are sons? Daughters? Okay, if you weren't one of those, how many people are a cousin? Yeah, a nephew maybe? How many? A niece? A grandson? A grandmother? See, I think there's a misconception here that I want to start to break down. Everybody in this building is a part of a family. Right? And so don't look at me and say, well, you're a husband and you're a father, so therefore family ministry is for you. Oh, well, you're just talking to married couples. No, no, no. If you are a part of the family of God, God wants to help you this year. And that's our goal, to equip you to live a life focused on Jesus. And what this looks like is every Wednesday, one Wednesday night a month, Pastor Roy has had us one Wednesday night a month, we're going to have a lesson. And then one Saturday a month, there's just going to be an opportunity to hang out at the church. And there might be some discussion, but it's not going to be fancy. It's not going to be a big Bible study. It's just hanging out. Just an opportunity. So a lesson on Wednesday night and hanging out. And in between, there's going to be some work for you. Because Jesus never promised this would be easy. Jesus said, if you want to grow and learn of me, if you want, you're going to have to take the difficult road. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. And so the first one we have is coming up this Wednesday night. You're going to be here if you're going to be here. You're not if you're not. But I would highly encourage it. Because God wants to start to do something in your life. And we're going to have four main topics over the course of the entire year, one every quarter, and you'll hear more about it Wednesday night. So God bless, and let's start living a life that's focused on Jesus.
Not to us, but to your name. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name.
Glory. I am just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you. You are the one I want, you are the one I need. This world can have it all, it can take everything.
Jesus. Thank you so very much to our worship team, Brother Jerry, preaching an awesome Bible lesson this morning. Thank you so very much. We're going to get right into the message this morning, and you can stand, remain standing. We're talking in January, our series for this season, we're talking about pressing on, about pressing on. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, the Philippians, in chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, thus be minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Another version puts it like this: "There's one thing that I do, forgetting the past, I press forward to what lies ahead." What Paul was saying is, he was saying, I don't care what's happened in the past. We know Paul's past. Paul had quite a reputation in his past that he had to overcome. Remember, he was now ministering to some of those same Christians. A few years earlier, he had been chasing, persecuting, seeking to destroy. So he says, I don't care what's happened in the past. I don't care what labels have been put on me in the past. I don't care what problems, I don't care what situations have been in the past. I don't care what happened. I'm pressing forward. I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to become stuck. I am moving forward. Everyone say, press on. Press on. You can be seated this morning. Apostle Paul acknowledged in this writing that he had not received or reached at a level that he had wanted to be as of yet. He's letting us know, he's letting all of the church world know that he has influence with at that time, that he had not yet arrived and that he was still a work in progress. He does not consider himself to have attained or to have taken hold of the fullness of Christ. Neither has he reached his desired goal. He realized that God is still pruning him, that God is still shaping him, and he is striving in his own way, in his own manner. He is striving to improve to what God wanted him to be, and he would not give up. I press, I push, I force myself. I get up every day and I step into a world and I push myself towards the mark of a higher calling of God in Christ. He challenges every child of God to have the same mindset as well, that we may not be able, or we may not be who that we want to be, but we can get there. I know this morning you may look at yourself and you say, as you look at yourself in the mirror, you may not be today what you ought to be. You may not be today where you really want to be. But guess what? You are here and you are pressing on. Don't ever give up. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, lay aside every weight and sin which so easy snares us, to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. It's not the world that says when we're finished. The world doesn't dictate to you and I. It's Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my faith. He's the beginning and the end of my race. God expects us as his church to facilitate, to expedite his return and the advancement of his kingdom here on earth. He left this responsibility. We read about the Great Commission in Matthew. We read about what is commissioned, what Jesus Christ commissions for us to do. And he left that up to you and to I. Listen, church, we're not going to have revival as God wants us to have revival if we're not going to prepare ourselves for one. And that means we're not going to have revival without having a fight. Simply put, pressing on means that we are going to be pressing into a battle. It's not pressing into vacation. It's not pressing into Cancun or the French Riviera or wherever it may be, your favorite vacation spot. Pressing on means I am pushing forward into a kingdom that is going to be pushing back. We must prepare ourselves for warfare. We must prepare ourselves for battle. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, be prepared. You're up against more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get. Every weapon that God has issued to us, he's given us truth. He's given us righteousness, peace, and faith, and salvation. These are much more than words. These are weapons that we can use as a Christian. We have to prepare, and preparation is a mental decision. It's something that you decide that I'm going to prepare myself for battle, because that mental decision becomes a physical and spiritual reality in our lives. And preparation of spiritual warfare, it's important that we do a few things before we enter into the battle zone. We're reading from Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. This is a continuation, fast forward from Brother Jerry's lesson this morning to 40 years. Fast forward in Joshua, who was one of the 12 spies, one of the only two that said, we can go up and take the land. He's standing there now. Moses, their leader, is dead and gone. And Joshua is standing before Israel and he's saying, get up. God is telling him to get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. As we enter into a season of prayer and fasting, not this week, but next Sunday, we will be having some information we're going to be passing out. Our ushers will be passing that out during the service, where we will be taking and giving each family a prayer guide for the week to pray ourselves as we pray through our week of prayer and fasting. And as we enter into a season of prayer and fasting, there are things in our lives that we need to rid ourselves that would hinder us as we prepare and go into battle. Understand something, as we prepare ourselves for battle, as we prepare ourselves to press on in the kingdom of God, it starts with the purification process. How do you purify yourself for battle? I will tell you how we purify ourselves for battle is we enter into his presence in prayer and in repentance. This should be the first line of defense against the adversary that is coming against us, is prayer. It should be the first thing that we do, but unfortunately for most people, it becomes their last resort. You see, prayer is what gives us strength. If you wait until the enemy shows up to start praying, you're already at a disadvantage. But if you know how to pray and you know how to pray right, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when the devil hears you call on the name of Jesus, demons start trembling and strongholds begin to come down. It's sickness and disease that dry up when you pray in the name of Jesus. There is authority in the name of Jesus. Demons tremble at the name. Use that name in prayer. Do all that you do, do in the name of Jesus. You get in your car in the morning and head to work in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be a productive worker in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sit down at the lunch table with my brothers, my friends, people that I work with in the name of Jesus. When I call a friend that's struggling in life, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus and make the call. Jesus, Jesus. The enemy that we fight will only be victorious over us if we skip prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. I will be the first to stand up here in front of you today and say fasting is not my favorite thing to do when it comes to spiritual things. I would much rather eat pizza. Life, breakfast is not breakfast without bacon, without eggs. I'm sorry, Daniel's fast, it's rough. Because I'm not good at oatmeal and all of that stuff. I like bacon. I like eggs. I like hash browns. I like to be able to sit down to a breakfast of biscuits and gravy. That's breakfast. Cheerios, that's a late midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning snack. That's not breakfast. That's when I wake up at 2 in the morning and you wake up and you can't sleep. I don't fix breakfast. I have a bowl of Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, because they're good for your cholesterol. I sit there and I read, and it's 120 calories for milk and some 120 calories for a bowl of cereal. But how many people actually eat what the box says is a serving of cereal? You probably do like I do, brother. You sit down, you pour your cereal and your milk, and you keep eating cereal till your milk leaves. When you got no more milk, you know you're done. My dad used to get so mad at us boys because he would buy us cereal. He never bought the stuff with sugar. He never bought Frosted Flakes, Honey Nut Cheerios, or Wheat Puffs. It was that generic stuff you buy at the warehouse food stores in big bags. He'd bring it in, and man, we would go through the sugar. I mean, we would take those Wheat Puffs and we would make them super sugar crisp by adding a cup of sugar with our cup of meal or a cup of milk, and we would have that bowl of cereal, and when we're done, there's still a half an inch of sugar in the bottom of the bowl, and you scrape that sugar out and you eat it up. You've been there. You know. You can't put enough. Some of you, I've watched you pour coffee, and I've watched you put how much sugar in your coffee. I watched one brother one put 10 packs of sugar in his cup of coffee. Don't yell at me and when I have a Pepsi or Mountain Dew, okay? I got off track. See what fasting does? We hate fasting because our bodies love bacon. Our bodies love pizza. Our bodies love burritos and Cheetos and everything else that rhymes with it. But fasting, what does fasting do? Fasting tells our flesh, doesn't it? Something happens in the spirit realm. When we fast, when we deny the flesh, it brings out a special, a very unique spiritual awareness. I like to put it this way. I know it sounds carnal, but it brings out our spiritual spidey senses. We're able to take and sense things that we normally aren't able to sense. When we push food away from the table and we say, I'm going to spend this time with God in prayer, I'm going to push the food away, and God begins to sharpen and hone our spiritual senses. It makes us aware of spiritual things. It allows us to see into a spiritual realm that we normally can't see. It helps us to understand what's going on in the spiritual world all around us. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. There are times in our lives that I know when God's angels are fighting for us, and sometimes we're not even aware of it because we're not in tune enough with God to understand that he has dispatched perhaps even legions of angels on our behalf. We entertain angels unaware, the scripture tells us. We have to understand that the enemy, Satan, is the prince and power of the air, and this earth is his domain. Sometimes we pray and no answer comes. Perhaps it's God has sent the answer, but because of the enemy that is fighting against us, the answer is being held up, as in Daniel's case. It's being held up. For there are angels that are sending and dispatching messages. You see, God wants to make sure that we get our mail. But sometimes there are forces that don't want our mail to get delivered to us. You see, we have to learn. And as the enemy fighting against us holds things back, but the angels are there to make sure that God's word, what God says is going to happen, happens. I believe sometimes I think we get a little bit too much on the flesh and carnal side of life, and we don't realize that there are angels walking among us right now in this church service ministering to those of you that are here. We read. We also need to learn as we prepare ourselves and press into battle. We need to read our instruction manual. And what is our instruction manual? I call this is my life manual. This is my manual for life. It's my battle plan. It is my instruction manual. So when the enemy comes at me and I need to press on, I need to push back, and I don't have the strength on my own, and I'm struggling, I can read, I can open up my combat manual, and I can begin to read in the Psalms and in the Proverbs how that men and women of old fought their battles. I am with you always. Even until the end of the age. I am your rock. I am your shelter. We need to learn how to apply it. We'll need this throughout the battle. God's word is an indispensable weapon. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. We need to read his word, meditate on his word, sing his word, pray his word, put his word on your Bible app and listen to it as you're driving down the road. Joshua 3:5 should become our expectation for each new day. For tomorrow, Jehovah will do wonders among us. If you want to be successful, you can never ignore the minimize the time to prepare. Preparation time, the price for success, is always paid in advance of the victory. I don't know why it is that way with God, but that's how it is with God. If you want a victory, you are going to have to pay in advance for the victory. God doesn't reward lazy, unspiritual people. Victory never comes after the fact. it becomes in advance. It's always paid. When a soldier is sent to war, there's a process that he must prepare himself for that particular mission. There's special training. He's given immunization for any disease that he might encounter. There's a description of the mission. Before he goes to war, he must prepare himself or themselves mentally and physically for the task at hand. They must prepare. They must be properly trained. They practice and train and train and train. Every morning at approximately 9:30, we hear F-16s every Tuesday morning flying over the church. They're not going out and bombing Illinois, as some of us may hope. Brother Seidel showed me this chart that he found online somewhere about which states hate other states. Anybody see that? All 49 states don't like Illinois. I don't know what it is. I'm just joking. My brother-in-law's from there. As he says, it's a good place to be from. If you're here and you're a Bears fan, I apologize, but nevertheless, it is what it is. I lost myself totally with that one. We have to be properly trained. There we go, going into a hostile environment. I guess you could. Okay. Listen. If you're a born-again Christian and you're sitting here today, you are at war. In fact, you're engaged right now in the mother of all battles. No war in history can compare with the battle that you and I are fighting. It can either cause you your greatest joy as a Christian, or it can cause you your greatest pain. You see, this war affects every area of your life, and there's no way that we can avoid the conflict. There is no bunker, there's no foxhole that you can crawl into that will shield us from the effects of this battle between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. You see, the sad to say, most Christians today don't even realize that they're at war. But others can see the results of the battles in their lives because they become casualties of spiritual warfare. I see so many Christians that are discouraged and depressed and downtrodden and defeated. Have you noticed that? I was surprised. I was listening to some music the other day, and I normally don't listen to a lot of music online, but I was listening to some music the other day, and it was Christian music, and I went and I said, you know what, I gotta go turn this off. It sounded like country western. You're losing everything, and that life is such a struggle, and it just kind of kept going on and on and on, and I'm like, no, wait a minute. That's not how we as Christians. That's not. I don't want that to be my life. But you see, the world is tired. It moans and it groans under sin, and it bears the bloody and painful scars of this conflict. There are shattered lives, there's broken home, there's abuse and immorality of every kind. The world is at war. There is conflict everywhere, physical and spiritual. We are in a battle, and the battle has eternal consequences. It's a battle for our very souls. It's a battle for the very souls of our family, our wives, our children. We have to understand we must be prepared for whatever we will encounter on the battlefield of life. One day it may be sickness. The next day it may be financial hardship. It may be family issues. We must be prepared for whatever the enemy throws at us in battle. We have to prepare physically. We have to prepare mentally, and we have to prepare ourselves spiritually. We're not going to church or going to war, church. We are at war. We have been at war since the Garden of Eden when sin entered into humanity. The war began in the garden, and we have been fighting. Humanity has been fighting this war ever since. As long as we're here at Calvary Gospel Church and we continue to experience a spirit of revival, there will be war. As long as lives continue to be changed, there will be war. As long as young men and young women are stepping up to lead in the fight, there will be war. But God's spirit is moving across the earth, and Satan, our eternal enemy, is not very happy about that. You see, he can see the signs of the times just like we can. He's not foolish. He understands and totally realizes he is bound by the word of God. So when the word of God says Satan will be thrown into the pit for eternity, he fully recognizes the fact that someday his reign will come to a fiery, painful, abrupt end. This is just my own philosophical, theological thoughts on this, but I believe that when Satan is thrown into hell, that every bit of pain, he is a spirit. He doesn't feel pain. He doesn't feel suffering. But when he's thrown into the pits of hell, every pain, every bit of suffering that humanity has ever experienced, he will feel. That will be an internal punishment, that what you have inflicted on others will be inflicted on you for eternity. You see, God has already won the victory, but we must continue to fight the battle. We have to press on, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For we wrestle. Paul uses the terminology, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wrestling has its roots in the old Grecian Empire. It was one of the original Olympic sports, and still at the time of Paul's writing, some hundreds of years later, it was still a very popular sport. We're all familiar with wrestling. You cannot wrestle someone without getting up close and personal. It's a personal battle. Their face is in your face. Your face is in their armpit. You're feeling their sweat. You can hear the strain of their muscles. They can feel as you are fighting back. It's an up close and personal conflict. Their sweat is dripping into your face as they try to take and bind you up. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's basically saying this fight is an up close personal. You can feel the enemy at times on your neck. You can feel the pressure as the pressure is put down on your neck as the enemy begins to push against you. But I want to encourage you this morning, press on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't allow the enemy. Listen, the fight's not over until God says it's over. We have to recognize one thing, church. There are things going on around us. We're wrestling against a force that we cannot see. We cannot always see the results of the battle. We can see the shattered lives in our families as well as in our workplaces. Perhaps as you sit here today, Satan has shattered your life. He shattered your family. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You have to press on, because your life is worth fighting for. You have to press on. Your family is worth fighting for. You have to press on. Your marriage is worth fighting for. You have to press on. Your children are worth fighting for. You have to press on. We must fight our enemy while we hold on to God. If our music and worship team can come forward, This morning, as we look into our military, you will find all kinds of weapons at its disposal. We have all kinds of ground weapons. I used to have a book. I loaned it out, and unfortunately, it's one of those I never got back, but it was about all the weapons of warfare, going all the way back into ancient warfare up to modern warfare. You look at modern warfare, we have ground weapons, we have tanks, we have mines, we have airplanes and bombers, and we have submarines and aircraft carriers and cities that fortified cities that float. We have missiles and we have rockets. If you had to choose, when we look at the Word of God, the ultimate weapon that you could use against your enemy, what weapon would you choose to use against your enemy? I think over the past years, this is one thing that the church world has somewhat forgotten and somewhat overlooked. It's a very, very powerful weapon. A lot of folks don't understand how this weapon works. The last few weeks I've been working on some projects, and I knew it was there and I knew it existed. I just didn't know exactly. But I discovered an app. I shouldn't say I discovered it. I finally did put the app on my phone, and it's called Pandora. I guess maybe that's why they talk about Pandora's box. Okay, I'm not listening to Jimi Hendrix, and I'm not listening to... Okay, I just wanted to hear some Christian music. And my record player, my phonograph... I don't know about you. I didn't know if you guys knew this or not, but they stopped making them. I don't know when they did that. And then my CD player, that's outdated. And I have those MP3s, those little zip drive things, but I probably had 45 or 50 of them that Brother John Rivas so patiently puts music on it for me and gives it to me from time to time. Go on vacation, he's like, here's some vacation music. And I don't know, John, I just lose them. Sorry, I don't know where they all at, but probably where my socks and our Tupperware tops are all, probably all together somewhere. But you see, as I was listening to some of this old gospel music, some stuff I hadn't heard in years, you see, there's one weapon that Satan literally cannot stand. And this weapon represents the ultimate defeat of Satan. I like it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listening to the song, there's power, there's power, there's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, if you need a healing this morning for your body, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you need healing this morning in your mind, there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power, there's wonder-working power. It's through His blood that gives us complete victory over Satan. It's through His blood that brings salvation to us. It's repentance, baptism, and cleansing of our hearts and our souls, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, where that this blood is applied. We are buried in His name. There's the power of God unto resurrection. And that power gives us authority over Satan. It gives us power in our battles every day. The old timers, they used to pray. I'd hear them pray, plead the blood, you can stand. I didn't quite always understood or understand what that means. But you see, you have to understand something about the enemy. When the enemy sees the blood of Jesus Christ, he comes to a screeching halt. So when you're battling the enemy every day, Brother Daniel, and the enemy has just whooped up on you. You ever have one of those days? You get in, your car won't start. Then when you get it started, by the time you get to work, you got a flat tire and the boss is all over you. The wife's not happy because you left the garage door up, forgot to take the trash out. You know how that goes. We live that life. That's life. And the enemy wants to come at us. And he can destroy us, Pastor Peter, if we got the wrong mindset. If we're not mentally prepared for battle every day, he can eat us, spit us up, and chew us out. But when he comes at us, Sister Sarah, and what he sees is the blood of Jesus Christ dripping off of us, it stops him in his tracks now. It works better than Mucinex. You see, as we fight, Deuteronomy 32:30 tells us that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's a promise. That's a promise. God was telling Israel. Israel had their problems. I don't know how we would be if we were in their shoes. Sometimes easy to criticize when you haven't walked in their shoes. And here we are a few thousand years later, and we see what their God, our God, did for them, and yet we still have fear. We're still afraid. But if I look at 1,000 fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, one can put 1,000 and 2, 10,000. How many can 300 put to flight? Think about that. We live so far beneath our training manual. You see, there's no place that we can escape the effect of spiritual warfare. Church, we have to learn how to fight. We have to learn how to press forward and press on. You see, our ability to deal with the spiritual realm will determine whether we win or lose in the physical realm. Paul says, there's one thing that I do. Forgetting the past, I press forward to what lies ahead. As our altar team prepares for our altar service here, we're kind of going back to some things that we did a few years back. If you need healing today, if you're sick in your body, I want you to press on this morning. I want you to push beyond the crowd, and I want you to make your way to the front. And we want to lay hands on you. And we want to pray for you that God would touch and heal your body. I don't care what it is. Does it matter? Come up here to my right, your left. If you need help, I know some of you, I've talked with some of you this past week. Life's been a really rough struggle. Things happen that you just never envisioned you would be sitting here today, having the week that you had. Just, if you're willing to just make your way up front to the middle section here, we want to pray with you that God would give you peace, God would comfort those struggles in your life, those struggles in your families. Maybe you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor Roy, how do I overcome? How do I have the blood of Jesus applied to my life? We have our altar workers, repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and having his blood applied to your life and the infilling, the power of the Holy Ghost. So as our worship team begins to sing, church, let's just go into a season. Let's just pray. If you want to make your way down to the altar, if there's an empty spot, you can just fill in. That's fine. But press on this morning. Press on. press on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your family's worth it. Your marriage is worth it. Your finances are worth it. Your job is worth it. Your ministry is worth it.
You're my Savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Ooh.
order to press on, we have to press into prayer, to press into fasting, have to press into His Word, have to press into His name, have to press into His blood. It is through all of that, those are the weapons that God has given to us. He's given us the Holy Ghost for a purpose. That's your internal GPS, God's guiding system. It will guide you, position you, use it. So as we move into 2023, we're going to press in to Jesus. We're going to press on to Jesus. Thank you so very much for attending today. If you're a guest of ours, Brother Jonathan Carpenter has his family with him, and it's so good to see his boys, Amber, his daughter. And then last Sunday evening here at the church, we had a wedding, and Brother Trey and Sister Amber got married. We just want to congratulate them. If you want to congratulate them, make sure you let them know. Say hello to them. But let's shake hands with brothers and sisters, the guests. And God bless you. Have a very, very blessed week. And we will be back here. Remember, Wednesday evening, we will be going right into the fellowship hall. Our pews will all be torn up and being repadded and rematerialed. But God bless you. Have a very, very blessed week.